Good morning. It is Wednesday, September 21st, and things that are trending this hour. Bill Murray. Today is his birthday. How old is Bill Murray? You know, I like to give you that pop quiz, get your brain going in the morning.
I'm going to say, I remember a couple years ago looking, and he was not as old as I thought he was, 72.
That's it, exactly.
Oh, yes!
You looked it up, didn't you?
I have no idea what these trending topics are you're going to pick. How would I know that? I'm just that good. Casey, here's the thing.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. I am such a deep thinker, and my mind is the envy of so many people, that I have the ability to process and think through things in a rapid fashion and come to a close answer on things that the normal person couldn't. It's a real gift.
It is.
I got very few gifts, Casey.
You're a treasure.
But one of those was the ability to do this.
Well, you nailed it. Also trending is Aaron Judge. He hit his 60th home run, joining Babe Ruth and Roger Maris as the only Yankees to hit 60 home runs in a season. And finally trending, front runners to succeed Daniel Craig as the next James Bond, and the leading candidate so far, Henry Cavill.
Who?
Henry Cavill.
Who is that? Do you know?
Superman.
Superman. Oh, and I watched him from The Tudors when he was younger. Oh, he's a good looking fella.
Is James Bond even a big deal anymore?
They keep getting reboots. I mean, it became a big deal when Daniel Craig played the role.
That's still like a thing. Like, I, you know, it used to be, it was, you know, Sean Connery, Roger Moore, then obviously Pierce Brosnan later became James. That's still a thing. Like, it's a feather in your cap. Because there's been 93 Batmans. Is that even a thing anymore? Like, oh, I was Batman. That used to be a huge deal. Now it's like, oh, there's another Batman.
Well, the interesting thing about Bond now is he won't be doing it for Her Majesty's service anymore.
That's right.
Right?
He's going to have to be helping out King Charles. And who would want to do that?
Mm. It's 8 minutes after 10. It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. And data from the Indiana Secretary of State's office show that 278,216 voters who registered or updated their voter information between January through September were mostly women. 52% of these voters were women, whereas 47% were men. And a spokesperson for the GOP said that it's a good thing we reject the premise that women automatically vote with the Democratic Party, especially here in Indiana. So what does this mean?
Indiana Capital Chronicle had the story. And I wanted to put this on the template at the top of the hour because I think this is a big deal, because I have several questions for you. Because unlike on-demand abortion advocate Destiny Wells, I am not anti-woman and respect women in the workplace and really respect you being in the workplace and have no problem recognizing this is half your show and that I will correspond with you for key parts of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So as a woman... Mm-hmm. How many of your fellow women do you believe, because the media is presenting this as, oh my gosh, all of these women are going to rush in lockstep to vote for Democrats in all 50 states because they so covet abortion from conception to live birth that they will do whatever it takes to ensure that that is able to happen. And I ask you, as the woman of this show and as someone who respects women in the workplace, I wish more of our elected officials did. Do you believe that your fellow women will be doing this in droves? This will be the primary driver of women to the polls this fall.
Well, I do believe that a lot of women are really passionate about the abortion issue.
In terms of, do you believe the majority of those people are passionate about pro-abortion?
Well, I think that the left has galvanized a lot of women to register. They did it in a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
Is it sustainable? Are they going to turn out to vote? Those are questions.
Well, because I asked this because, and by the way, the biggest month of registration, so this article is a little misleading. I'm not implying that the Indiana Capital Chronicle intended to be misleading, but buried in the data, like, the big month that appears here was May.
Mm-hmm. So that was right after the Dobbs case?
No, that was before. The Supreme Court had not... I was on my honeymoon when that ruling came down. That was in June.
Okay, you would know that because, you were gone.
Yeah, so that was... I mean, so the April and May appeared to be the two of the bigger months. April was the biggest month, it looked like, which makes sense. That is a primary election.
Mm-hmm.
So the April was the big one, 82% increase in April. And then there was a big increase also in May. The point is, that was in primary season. April certainly mm-hmm. would qualify you, I believe, to be able to vote in the primary. That makes sense. So is there, I guess it's a two-part question. Is Indiana, is it going to move people? And nationwide, will it move people? I don't think that there is, and again, you're the residential woman of this show, so you're more qualified to answer this than I am, but I just don't believe that there are throngs of women out there mm-hmm. who are saying, well, you know, I'm not pro-abortion, and I believe that life is valuable, but wow, now I'm really motivated to vote against what I've always believed. Because they act like every single woman is just an on-demand abortion advocate, and that's absolutely not true.
Right, and that's... okay, so that's the thing. We can't assume that all of these female voters are younger, left-leaning voters.
Right.
Right? Or are they moms who value life and their babies and want to offset the votes?
Right.
It goes both ways. Perhaps when mom is grocery shopping and packing school lunches, or when she was searching for Biden's baby formula... she realized she just wants to feed her family.
Right.
I mean, you gotta eat. That's important.
Right.
And women are caretakers, which also means they take care of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if they don't like the way something is going, they're inclined to do something about it. At the end of the day, who is more dependable when it comes to voting?
Yeah. You're saying in the sense of, is it a middle-aged mother... mm-hmm. or is it a 20-year-old college female? Who's more apt to go out and do the effort?
Right. Now, I didn't see the breakdown of the demographic of these women voters.
Well,
is it young people that were galvanized and on college campuses? Because that's not a dependable voter when it comes to an election, to election day.
That's a great question, and I don't see that in the article itself. They do break it down, obviously, by mm-hmm. gender. But the other question that I have for you is, even if abortion is an issue you care about,
mm-hmm.
and that's a really weird thing, that being anti-life is an issue that would be at the top of your preferences, but okay. Because again, keep in mind, like, let's take Indiana, for example. What did Indiana say? Because the hysterics, the arguments are utterly ridiculous. If it's the health of the mother, totally 100%, you can still go have an abortion. If it's a, you know, what do they call that?
Ectopic.
Pregnancies. Yes, I think you got it right. And I'm terribly sorry for anybody who's had that. I'm very sorry that I am not pronouncing it as best as I should. Those are still allowed, right? They're not. This is not the frontier where you're going to die. Mm-hmm. If you're going to die, you're not allowed to do this procedure. What we have said as a state is that all life, I guess, unless you were conceived in a certain fashion and then after 10 weeks, then you're sacred, but whatever, is sacred, and that life that is conceived by choice, we as adults understand that there are responsibilities that come with our actions, or potential responsibilities that come with our actions.
Mm-hmm.
Every person under the sun who desires to have birth control in some shape, form, or fashion can have it, either through the male
mm-hmm.
purchasing some form
mm-hmm.
or the woman purchasing some form. And if it's that big a deal to you that you desire to suck the brains out of a defenseless fetus, I don't think it's too much to ask you to say use both. Condoms are not that expensive. Birth control oftentimes free on most insurance plans. If it is so important to you that you not get pregnant, that you believe you need to suck the brains out of a defenseless fetus if that happens, I don't think it's too much to say double protection.
Mm-hmm.
But yet in society, because we now live in a society that says, well, whatever you want, if it feels good, do it, regardless of anybody else's ramifications. It's not that much different. I mean, it is different, but it's not that much different in terms of what happened with the $10,000 giveaway. But you made the choice to take out this loan.
Mm-hmm.
You made the choice to go to college. You made the choice to do things that others didn't do. So there should be a ramification for it. There's a responsibility that comes with that. No. You don't have to do that anymore. That's what we're doing in our society. We are stripping away the responsibilities that come with being an adult, and your choices have consequences, and it is not hard to not get pregnant.
You're right.
You're a woman from a woman's perspective.
Don't put yourself in that position. Yeah. I think it comes down to, Rob, a lot of females believe that they have lost a right over their own body. Misinformed or not, incorrect or not, that's just, it's a feeling, and I think that the Democrat Party were able to galvanize a lot of women on this issue, whether it's correct or not. And you don't want to lose a right over your body. You know exactly what I'm talking about. All I have to say is mandatory vaccine and masking.
Right. Yeah. Spot on. So I just thought it was an interesting article. They always try to, it's always framed in the sense of, and you're led to believe, even if they don't say it directly, oh my gosh, this will be a strong new Democrat voters.
But you can't assume, though, that just because a lot of women registered to vote or updated their voting card, that they're automatically doing that so that they can be pro-abortion.
Right.
Yeah. We don't know that. It could go the other way. It could be a lot of women saying, now, wait a minute, I want to feed my family. That's important to me.
Casey, can I ask a favor of you?
Sure.
Because it's half your show. And as someone who is very pro-woman in the workforce, I will include you in this discussion. Mm-hmm. We got some incredible hate mail this morning.
Great.
And you know my tendency is to maneuver hate mail to the front of the line.
Yeah.
And I would like to, because it's not on our template of stories we intended to cover in the next segment, but I would like to move this up because I think our audience would readily enjoy it.
Do they deserve to hear it?
They need to hear this.
Okay. We'll do that coming up from 93 WIBC. Good morning. It is 10:21 with Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. Thank you for listening this morning, and thank you for watching on the YouTube stream, if that's how you're consuming. If you'd like to do that, just type in Kendall and Casey WIBC in the YouTube search bar, and you can follow along. All right, do it. Do your thing. Make my day.
If you're new to the show, we have a rule here, which is that hate mail goes directly to the front of the line. Because if a radio program that you are not forced to consume, that has no power over you in any shape, form, or fashion, we can't raise your taxes, we can't make you wear a mask, we can't close your business, we can't have VIP meet and greets with domestic terrorists, we have no power over anyone. We are just people talking. And if our mere existence drives you to the point of insanity, then I want to showcase you, because I know there are many people out there who it is a disturbing thing that someone's mere existence drives them to the point of just losing their mind, Casey. Mm-hmm. And
are you making someone lose their mind?
Well, I think we did a very good job of that yesterday. And that's one of the gifts that we have. And so I love to showcase this because I have uber thick skin, as you're fully aware. And this is very long. It is, if you were to print this letter out, I can't read all of it. It was probably equivalent to The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald in terms of length. So I will only read part of it in order to stay within the parameters set forth by our employers. There is a entire thing where this lunatic goes after Micah at some point, which I would have loved to gotten
Micah
into
Beckwith.
Because I sent it to him. He thought it was hilarious, but we just don't have time to get into it today. But if you're ready, I'd like to read a little bit of it. By the way, I'm going to use the word Rick instead of the word she uses, because I can't say the word that she uses, but this word rhymes with Rick and is another word for male genitalia.
Got it.
Are you ready? Okay, I think I have prefaced what I need to preface. Let's go.
Okay.
Rob, you are so full of it. One moment you are boasting how you have such a powerful voice on the airwaves, but when you get called on your BS, you cower and say you have no power, claiming you are just a radio host. So, which is it? Are you a powerful radio host who laughs and claps his hands like a barking seal spewing lies? Who has small Rick energy?
Small
Rick Anderson.
Or are you just a simple radio host? With small Rick energy. Furthermore, you claim you have a great memory, but fail to remember simple things, such as who has emailed the show before. I've emailed the show several times, dumbass. You always rip on people for sucking up to politicians, but go on to demand politicians suck up to you.
Oh.
My name is Martha. There. You happy, Mr. Steel Trap Memory? This is a person that exists in the ether in which we all consume oxygen, Casey.
Small Rick energy.
Yeah.
I think that may be trending soon.
And Casey, just to put in perspective, I had to cut for time short the paragraph she wrote about me. That is an edited version. And then there is another entire paragraph about how much she hates Micah, who appears on this show one time a week. Micah appears on this show for one segment a week, and she wrote an equally lengthy paragraph about how much she hates that Micah is on this show.
It's not the first time she's emailed the show.
No, no, no. And because she didn't put her name, and so we're making fun of people who don't sign their name. Yeah, I'm aware of who you are. We are pointing out how ridiculous you are to prove a point, which is so easily provable when we, I mean, that is Kaczynski-esque manifesto stuff. Like,
she doesn't like you. However, she continues to listen.
I saw somebody say this yesterday, and I'm paraphrasing this, but tolerance is not consuming something you agree with. Tolerance is consuming something that you don't agree with and going, that's allowed to exist. I understand that there are a bevy of hosts on various platforms across this fruited plain who have views that are nowhere close to mine. And you know what I do for the most part? I just don't consume them.
Right.
But if I, because I have a choice, right? I can decide whether I see the view. But when I do happen to consume it, and many times we'll play them on this show, I chuckle at them, I laugh at them, I don't agree with them, we point out why they're wrong, but we don't turn in to the guy in, what's the Michael Douglas movie, Standing Down, Standing Tall, where he turns into a complete maniac. I mean, this is like, this person needs help. I hope someone, if you know Martha, that you check.
Are you sure that's her real name?
I think that may very well be her real name based on her email. Like, remember how they caught Kaczynski, where they published the article and his brother, I think, saw the writing
recognized
and said, that's
the
my
writing.
Brother?
Yeah.
Maybe someone will, and part of why I read that today is maybe someone will recognize the writing pattern and will find Martha and help her because she needs something serious.
Did anybody else notice that he said small Rick energy, but didn't come up with a different word for dumbass?
Well, I can say that. Look, I don't set the rules. I just go by the rules. I just play in the sandbox. It's the rules of the playground, Casey.
Okay. Martha, thank you for listening. Hate listening, love listening, whatever you're doing. Just keep on doing it because we appreciate it. It's 20 minutes after 10. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Every move you make. It's a new record for the price of real estate in Indiana. Once a home to a late timeshare entrepreneur and philanthropist, the property in Indianapolis is holding the state's record for the most expensive residential sale. Good morning. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So this property sold for $14 million. It was sold last week. formerly known as Restoration Hardware, is going to be leasing the property from the buyer, and they're going to convert it into a furniture showroom, which they intend to open next summer. They're also going to have an interior design gallery, a restaurant, a wine bar, and also an outdoor space for more furniture. So $14 million.
Yeah, 14.5. It was one of these dealios where it was listed at $14 million and then ended up selling for more than the list price. Now, this home is interesting because it was the house of Crystal DeHaan. Many people know her. She was an incredible philanthropist, donated to all sorts of things. I believe she was a big school choice advocate. So she is she's since passed away, a very prominent person in Central Indiana. Now, the house, which was known as the name the Linden House, and this is according to Mansions Global. There's an actual website I found this called mansionglobal.com, and you can see the photos of the home, get all the details. It was 168 acres, and the house itself was 41,762 square feet. That is an unbelievably large. Like, okay, if you live in a house, and people hearing this will appreciate this. So if you live in a house that's 2,000 square feet, you definitely don't live in a mansion, but you probably live in a two-story house of some sort, because if you're 1,700 square feet on a traditional ranch style home, that's a pretty sizable ranch. So a modest two-story home is probably going to run you somewhere around 2,000 square feet. So this is 20 times, and again, we're just freewheeling here, but 20 times the size of an average two-story home.
Yeah.
To put some perspective on this. And by the way, if you live on a third of an acre, that's probably the average suburban size lot. So this would be 168 times 3 would be, what is that? You got a calculator there. 168 times 3.
You got to let me know when you're going to do math.
The property size.
504.
Okay, so this would be 504 times the property size of an average home, give or take. So, I am a little disheartened by the fact that they are not going to keep this a home.
Yeah, they're going to turn it into something else.
Which is kind of depressing because it is such a gorgeous home, and it's such a large, large plot of land, and it sits on the water that it's a little disheartening. But obviously, you buy it, you can do what you want to do with it, and I guess that's what it'll become.
Well, you can always visit it. You can go to the restaurant and the wine bar. It's a 7-bedroom mansion, 10 full bathrooms, and another 7 half baths. 17 toilets in that place.
What possible reason would there be for 17 toilets?
Well, it's a big place,
I guess.
Don't want to walk far. To sit on the throne. Other features of the house include, let's see, a grand entrance hall that it can accommodate 100 people for dinner. You have to have a lot of friends to live in this place. It's got a tennis court, indoor and outdoor pool. You mentioned the lake, landscape grounds, garden. They have imported trees, sculptures. It sounds lovely. And now anybody can go there and go to the restaurant and wine bar. Actually, next summer is when it's supposed to be open, but a record-setting price, $14.5 million.
Okay, let's see here real quick while we're doing this, because I want to do the calculation on what this would cost the average person to do this. So why don't you move on to the next story, and then I'm going to get a price on what it would cost you to try to have bought the $14.5 million house. Does that sound good?
A monthly payment?
Yes. So, move on to the next story. And then by the time we come back to this, I will have what it would cost you to have attempted to purchase this home.
Okay. So the former U.S. Treasury Secretary, Larry Summers, is talking about his concerns about inflation. He was at the Harvard Institute of Politics Forum. This was on Thursday morning, and suggested that the Federal Reserve should consider a full percentage point hike rate. You know, they've been talking about doing a 0.75% rate.
Yes.
And now they're talking about doing a full percentage point.
Yes.
Of course,
there's an argument now, and one of the large financial institutions made this case. Tony was talking about it this morning, that maybe it's Wells Fargo, I can't remember for sure, that for some reason that sounds familiar, was arguing that there's some merit to just say, look, stop screwing around, just do a point and a half.
Oh, and just be done just rather than these little ones.
Well, right. So
littler,
but
one and a half.
Here's the thing, and you know, we talk about the three points of the stool for inflation.
Mm-hmm.
It's interest rates. Mm-hmm. It is energy. And it is most notably government spending are the three parts of the stool. So it doesn't matter what the Federal Reserve does. You could see rates hit 10%.
If the federal government keeps spending.
Right. If the government does not get its act under control. And by the way, these interest rates should be going up. Because as someone who saves money, as someone who does things the right way financially, who doesn't take big risks, my dollar deserves to have meaning. And I'm excited for my dollar to have meaning in this country where I live, work, and play. And in my adult life, because, you know, obviously that dates back to Bush, the dollar has really not had much meaning because we print money like it's going out of style. And this correction from the Fed, because all the other countries are so bad, not that we're doing anything great, but because of the course correction from the Fed, for the first time in my adult life, the dollar might actually have meaning and it would finally benefit me. Great.
Well, Larry Summers said that he thinks we're headed to a recession, but we're in a better position than some European countries. But this was his blasting of Biden's energy policy.
It's kind of insane that we have trucks and trains carrying oil all over this country rather than constructing pipelines, which would permit accessing more resources, cheaper, safer transmission.
Yeah.
Larry Summers, longtime Obama advisor, can't say, boy, that's a real MAGA assessment there. And he's right. None of it makes any sense, Casey, unless you're trying to harm the country. Unless, as we've talked about, the liberal view of what's going on is not that America has problems that need to be fixed, but America's original sins are so great that the country cannot be saved. And the only way to do it is to burn it to the ground and build it back up again. That's the only possible reason you would do this, what Biden and the Democrats have done the past year and a half.
Well, we've mentioned it many times. The country is blessed with natural resources.
Yes.
Let's use them.
By the way, I have a mortgage calculation here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let us know.
If you're just tuning in just a few moments ago, we were talking about the Crystal DeHaan, longtime Indianapolis. I believe she was in the real estate industry, also was famous for her philanthropy. She passed away recently. Her home sold in central Indiana for $14.5 million. And so I did the mortgage calculation on what it would cost us, Casey, to maneuver our way into this palatial estate. So are you ready?
I think we missed the boat. It already sold. But what would it have been?
Now, I took some guesses here on what you could acquire money for and what the terms might be. So $14.5 million was the sale price. I estimated the down payment at $2.9 million because you would probably have to put roughly 20% down. It's not like this is not an arm happening here. The ability to get into this home, probably 20% down. So I just guessed about $2.9 million. I did do a 30-year loan.
What's our rate?
I gave us 5%.
Okay.
While the average loan now is above 6%, if you have the capital to make a $2.9 million down payment,
chances are you're getting a lower rate.
And in all actuality, you could probably get it at 4% if you have that sort of capital, but just for fun here. So with all that information entered in, our monthly payment, according to bankrate.com, would be $71,883. Now, they break it down.
Yeah.
And here is the breakdown on that. The principal and interest is $62,271.
Okay.
The property taxes are $9,546.
Wow.
And the homeowner's insurance, this is shockingly low, $66.
What?
Yes, that's how they list it.
Okay.
On the deal. Now, I don't know if that's, you know, maybe that collectively together, that's maybe they're just off a little bit, but that's how they list it.
Gosh, Rob, we're so close to being able to. Well,
now, real quick, I do want to just do one thing because I think this would be interesting. I'm going to try this again here and see if,
$71,000, that is for 1 month.
Yes, it's for one, that is one monthly payment, a real. Real quick, just hang with me very, very quickly because I'm going to prove a point that I think will be brilliant, but I've got to do this and make sure it's right. This is great radio, I know, but bear with me. This will be totally worth it. gosh darn, it's not doing it. I was going to try to do it in a different zip code to try to determine how much the school tax referendum in Indianapolis is driving the price of would drive up the price of the mortgage payment to prove a point, but it is not allowing me to do that. So epic radio fail on my part, and I am terribly sorry for that.
That's okay. You'll get some more hate mail about this, which you can read on the air tomorrow. Hey, we've got Hammer joining us next. It's 93 WIBC. Good morning. It is 10:49 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC, and Hammer's in the studio. Nice shirt.
Thank you. This is a shirt that a listener, our pal Drake for America, got for me.
Mm-hmm. His shirt says, "I've done more for science than Dr. Fauci."
That's correct.
Why did you get that shirt?
We were telling a story on the air one afternoon about how I lit a fart and I learned what I shouldn't do in that process. And because of that, I've done more for science than Dr. Fauci has.
Okay.
Because at least I could put out there, hey, this is a bad idea. Don't get the flame too close to the golden area. That's information that you can bank on that's correct.
You're gonna Dr.
Fauci,
some hairs?
He's wrong all the damn time.
Okay, so we were having an interesting conversation during the break. By the way, Joe Piscopo looks like he's 193 years old in that commercial there. That is, something has happened.
But
to
you
Joe
know
Piscopo.
What, man? He's still on commercials. Like, good for him.
But
like, he has parlayed a very mediocre Saturday Night Live career into still being on commercials and today. That's amazing.
Would you have known? I'm not even sure I would have known that
I
was
don't
Joe
think
Piscopo.
I would have. No.
I mean, I guess the smile, you can still. Boy, he looks awful. He's not that old.
Well, he's doing commercials for Relief Factor right now, so he's getting a paycheck, man. I'm not going to bash the dude.
No,
because one day I'm going to look like somebody's foot, and I'm hoping I'm still going to get a paycheck doing something.
We were talking during the break. I didn't mean to get derailed there. I just saw that, and it was like, that is looks like somebody playing Joe Piscopo in a movie, about whether we should put a limit on how many times you can run for public office if you keep losing. Because you're at some point, you're just wasting the taxpayers' time. The society's clearly told you have no chance to win. So should we put a limit on the amount of times you can run for public office if you keep losing?
So let's look at a national example and let's look at a local example.
Okay, let's do it.
Nationally, Stacey Abrams.
Mm. Great.
Unless something completely goes off the rails in the next 7 weeks, mm-hmm. she's going to lose twice to the same guy.
Yeah.
Kemp.
She is going to lose to Brian Kemp. Mm-hmm. I got a big truck. That was literally his campaign commercial. I got a big truck in case I need to round up some illegals. She lost to that guy, and she's about to lose to him again.
Now, at least with her, though.
Wait a minute. I thought she lost because of voter suppression.
No, she changed her mind on that.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
You remember.
Okay.
Yeah, no, she changed her mind on that.
Yeah, that wasn't it.
Her objection to the election is different than Trump's.
Right.
It's totally
different. But wait a minute. I've got all this audio of her saying it was stolen.
No. Stop, Hammer.
It was record turnout the last time.
Hammer, please. You're making yourself look foolish over here. At least with Stacey Abrams, she had won an election of some sort, though, like to the mm-hmm. General Assembly. I think she was in the General Assembly in Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, let's take, like, a Linda McMahon, like, who ran twice for Senate and lost, and it really wasn't all that close. Like, at some point, should we ban Linda McMahon? You can't run for public office anymore. Like, that's the conversation. Now, locally, there's a guy you feud with all the time who is, I think, really getting into that sphere of conversation.
So there's this guy, it's not even in my district, he lives up north,
yeah.
Gary Snyder.
I know Gary. Gary's always been very nice to me for some reason. He is, I have no idea why, because I think he loathes everything I stand for. I have a lot of liberal friends. Have you ever noticed that? How many liberal people
Rob.
I don't get it. Like, I don't understand. But
Rhino Rob.
I don't understand why these liberal media people, whatever, are nice to me. I don't know. But you have been kind of feuding with this guy.
Well, not necessarily even feuding. I see him troll the station a lot. Like, it's not even necessarily us, but he's very anti-WIBC.
Yeah.
And he is about to have his ass completely handed to him on a silver platter by Jim Banks in this election.
He's running for, he's the Democrat nominee for Congress against Banks.
Right. In a very Republican district, mm-hmm. one of the most popular Republicans in Congress, Jim Banks is going to beat the brakes off this guy. He's going to humiliate this guy. Jim Banks is going to beat this guy so bad it might be the biggest blowout in any election in the country.
Now, we should applaud people for running for public office, though,
right.
Because, you know, Jim Banks deserves to have a challenger. Now, Jim Banks has gotten mad at me, and I don't know if we're not friends anymore because I had the audacity to talk one time about something he voted for, and that made him very angry. So, hello, Jim. I don't know if you're still mad at me or not. Did I ever tell you that story?
No.
That he sent. I talked about what he voted for one time, and he sent me a cryptic tough guy text, and I said, call me. Let's talk about it. Radio silence ever since. I guess having the audacity to say, call me and we'll talk about it was just too much.
Well, as Charles Barkley once said when he was on the Dream Team, and they were getting ready to play Angola in that very first game. Mm-hmm. You know, that amazing Dream Team roster.
Yeah.
Someone asked Charles Barkley, what are your thoughts on your first opponent, Angola? Quote, I don't know much about Angola, but Angola's in trouble. That's my thoughts on Gary Snyder right here.
Now,
I don't know much about Gary Snyder, but Gary Snyder's in trouble. He's the Angola of all election candidates right now.
And Gary has run for some
other... How many times has he run?
He's run for a couple other local public offices.
Yeah.
Now, it's my understanding Gary used to be very conservative, and then something happened, and then he became very liberal, and I don't know...
And he tried to start some liberal radio channel that was nothing more than a podcast with two tin cans and
now,
a string.
You better be careful. The Rob Kendall Show years ago originated over there, and look at where I am today.
Look at you now.
Righto, Rob! Hanging out with Gary Snyder.
Mm-hmm. What?
You, Gary Snyder, Adam Wren, all playing... You know, Parcheesi together.
I think it's part of my charm is that so many people love me because I have such an endearing personality. And I think
is that what you tell yourself every
morning? Well, I think it's what I bring to the table. Wouldn't you want to hang out with me?
I do.
Wouldn't
hang
you
want
to be friends with me?
I do hang out with you. I am friends with you.
Casey came over to my house willingly a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
And it was everything she imagined.
What's no comment.
Up, what's coming up this afternoon?
Casey will join us. The crazy coupon lady will join us. Tommy Lahren will join us. Reverend Charles Harrison and special guest host Chris Hammer today.
Wow.
What? The boy wonder.
What?
Filling in for Big Nige.
Yeah,
you got a lot going on. That's going to be fun. Thanks, Hammer. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.